Previously on Truth and Justice. The final nail in the coffin of the prosecution's case came from a man that we will only be identifying in the show as Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith is our jailhouse snitch.
And his cell was right across from my cell. We're in an 8-man tank. You know, I read my Bible. You know, I believe in God. I felt like I had an obligation to protect him. And I used to keep people off of him. And I used to bring him into my cell and we'd pray, you know. So I didn't have any suspicion of him. And I didn't, you know, I would never thought in a million years he would sneak into my cell and get my paperwork that my lawyers had given me about the police reports, the detective's case summary report and everything. I never imagined he would do that. That's what he did.
The only thing necessary for evil to prevail is that good men and women do nothing. I am simply a mouthpiece for good people from around the world who want to make a difference. Engagement and the involvement of ordinary people is what is going to change our criminal justice system. Many have tried and failed. The only difference between them and me is I'm bringing an army with me. This is Truth and Justice. Last week on Truth and Justice, we broke down the prosecution's case against George Powell. The prosecution's case was weak and circumstantial and consisted of four different elements. There was a Crime Stoppers tip called in by Elsie Schultz, followed by Melissa Keene picking George Powell out of a police lineup. Then we had the supposed photogrammetry expert Michael Knox, who reconciled Melissa Keene's original statement of the assailant being 5'6" with the fact that she had identified someone who was 6'3". And lastly, the nail in the coffin against George Powell was the testimony of a man who we're referring to as Mr. Smith, a former cellmate of George Powell's, who testified at trial that Powell had actually confessed to him. After presenting all four of these elements to the jury, George Powell in 2009 was convicted of armed robbery and sentenced to 28 years in prison. George Powell was 8 years into his 28-year sentence when the Bell County District Attorney's Office received a letter and a statement from Mr. Smith, the 2009 jailhouse snitch. Mr. Smith, unprompted and not requested by anyone, Mr. Smith's conscience got the better of him, and he decided to come clean, on his own, and recant his 2009 testimony. The letter was sent to the prosecutor in April of 2016, and 3 months later, a private investigator working for Michael Ware with the Innocence Project of Texas, a woman named Karen Anderson, went to visit Mr. Smith in prison. During that visit, she recorded a 1 hour and 9 minute long recantation directly from Mr. Smith. And that recantation is going to be the content for today's episode. You're going to hear directly, uncut and unedited, the original jailhouse snitch from George Powell's 2009 trial, recanting his testimony and explaining exactly how and why he lied under oath. While this interview is unedited for the most part, as I mentioned last week, I will not be revealing the identity of the jailhouse snitch. As we've been doing, we'll be referring to him only as Mr. Smith, so you will hear a few bleeps and a few sections of white noise. Those were added into the recording protect the identity and the location of Mr. Smith. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employees who post jobs on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. There's no juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/truth. That's ZipRecruiter.com/truth. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/truth.
Today's date is July 26, 2016, and the time is approximately 12:50 p.m. My name is Karen Sanderson. I'm a private investigator. I'm here at, and I'm here with Mr. Smith. And Mr. Smith, you're aware that I'm recording your voice in this conversation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And do I have your permission or consent to record?
Yes, you do.
Great. I'm going to just put this here. And maybe what I can do, maybe I'll just recap from when you first came in so that we could sort of memorialize our contact, so if there's a question.
Okay.
So you and I have never met before about 10 minutes ago, is that correct?
Yes, we never met before.
Okay, and you actually didn't know that I was coming to see you.
I had no idea.
Okay. And you were told that this was just going to be an interview or a legal visit or something?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, and I introduced myself as an investigator working for Michael Ware out of Texas. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And I told you that this was about George Powell and his case, and that Mr. Ware had hired me to come talk to you.
Yes.
Okay. And you're okay with speaking with me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then before we turn the recorder on, I also showed you a copy of the transcript of your testimony from 2009.
You sure did.
And did you get a chance to read that?
Yes, ma'am, I read it.
Okay. And then you also, I offered to show you the affidavit that you signed and sent to Mr. Garza, and you declined to look at that, but you said it's hanging on the wall of your cell.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay, and why do you have it on your wall?
Because it's kind of like a to-do. I was going to check on it again and send it back through.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard anything for a while.
Okay.
So it was a reminder to me to put it back into the envelope and resend it.
Yeah.
But I don't have to do that anymore now.
Now that somebody's come and is going to talk to you, right?
Yes.
So nobody, since you sent that, looks like the date on that is April 11th. Since you sent that, has anybody reached out to you?
No, ma'am. No one.
Mr. Garza hasn't responded?
No.
Okay. So why don't we start? I have some questions about what's been going on, but maybe I can just kind of recap kind of where you are right now. So you're serving out a prison sentence now.
Yes.
And you're due to be released from in 2018?
Yes, ma'am, 2018.
Okay. And what was the month and day, I think you told me?
October 22nd.
Okay. How long was the sentence that you're serving on right now?
97 months with a third off. So I think it was somewhere around. I caught my sentence in August of 2013.
Okay. And then you had said, I asked you if you were being represented currently, and you said no. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. But it also sounds like you do have a pending case out of.
Yes, I have a pending case.
And you said that was out of.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And what you know about it is that it's a pending burglary case, but you do not have an attorney representing you.
Yes, I do not have an attorney representing me.
And at some point you might get brought on that case, and at which point I would hope that somebody might represent you. Is that your understanding?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Are you comfortable speaking with me about Mr. Powell's case?
Oh, yes, very comfortable.
Okay. Tell me what you hope that I'll come away with today, understanding, or what's your hope about, I guess, coming forward at this time?
I want to fix a mistake that I made. I was real selfish and put this man away for a long time, just get myself off on the case. And it just really hurts me to have done that to a human being that trusted me. And I want him to come home. I want him to go home to his family.
Okay. When was the last time you had any contact with George Powell?
It had been months before my testimony.
Okay.
Months. Yeah, months.
So back in 2009?
Yeah, roughly, not sure, but I guess the trial was late in the year. It was probably early that year.
Like early 2009?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. And when I say contact with him, has anybody from the prison, like other folks that know George, have tried to reach out to you?
No one.
Nobody's tried to pass a message to you?
Nobody.
So you're coming forward about this has nothing to do with Mr. Powell reaching out to you in some way?
No. Mr. Powell has not reached out to me. No one from the prison system has reached out to me. I kind of know where this is going, but I live out here, been out here. I'm safe under this custody, so nothing down there could hurt me.
Okay. And wouldn't you say nothing down, you mean?
Well, I was thinking you was maybe thinking that people are threatening me, but it wouldn't matter because I'm not there, and so that's not the case.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. I actually hadn't thought of that. So Mr. Powell, no threats of no communications threatening you in any way?
No.
What about Mr. Powell trying to communicate with you, offering you, promising you, anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
So no communications at all?
No, no communication at all.
Okay. Was there something that happened in April that made you think about Mr. Powell's case?
Well, I was going down the same road, and my conscience just started to get to me. And it was really eating me up and making me feel depressed that I've done this. And I want to be a man. And that's one of the things about being a man is you gotta sometimes face things that you've done wrong and hope that you can fix it, at least put your best foot forward to fix it.
Were you contemplating doing providing testimony in another case up here? Is that what made you think about Mr. Powell?
Oh, no. I have no cases other than the one in McLennan County, but no. Just I was about to come back here and I want to fix the problem.
Okay. So you sent this affidavit in April, and it was something that sort of was a carryover from, and you were thinking that it was something that had happened?
Yes.
Kind of put it to rest, or?
Yes.
Okay. But nothing, like no moment where, or nothing, when you say, I was about ready to go down that same road, what do you mean by that?
Well, I was looking at a lot of time. I was about to get a lot of time. I already kind of knew what I was getting. And
the 97-month sentence?
No.
Oh.
The 20 years that I've just received.
Oh.
Yeah, Texas is a little different. So when I got those 20 years, I would only do 2.5 years of it, then I'd be on parole. So I won't spend the whole 20 years in prison there. So when he gave me that 20 years, with all the back time that I had accumulated, I was a free man anyway. Then I go home.
Okay. So you were about ready to receive a 20-year sentence in April?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about it, but yeah, I had hopes of the 20 years, and that's exactly what I got.
The reality, however, is that you're only going to be serving, or you did serve only a couple of years on that 20-year sentence?
Yes. That's a little trick. Not really, I'll say trick, but the law provides me an opportunity to get a concurrent sentence as long as I still have time running which is the reason why I want to go back to McLean County, while I still have time here.
Okay. Where's your home state? Okay. When you get released in 2018, where do you think you're going to go? So just to be clear, in April of 2016, when you wrote out this affidavit and sent it to the prosecutor, Mr. Garza, you had been thinking of that you were possibly going to receive this 20-year sentence, and were you contemplating providing testimony on another case? Is that what you meant by, you know, going down that road?
No. Like, Texas gives you a lot of time for things, you know, and it's like 30, 50, 60 years. And so when I had that big number in my head, and I was scared, well, I can imagine how Mr. Powell was scared and what I did to him by giving him that he didn't deserve it. It wasn't, I don't know what he did or didn't do, but I know he never told me nothing.
Okay.
Nothing that I testified to that to get him that time.
Okay. Sorry, I keep rehashing. So I think I understand it now. So it was just that you knew this possibly 20-year sentence was kind of hanging over your head, and it just made you think of Mr. Powell and his situation.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go back, and I want to ask you about Mr. Powell. When was the first time you ever met him?
My memory's a little shaky on that, but I was arrested in 2008 around Mother's Day. And I was in the old jail, which is Central Jail. And we moved from the Central Jail to the new jail, which is maybe 6 or 7 months later. And so that's where I met him, was when I got to the new jail. And
was he already there?
Yeah. I'm not sure if he was there already, but that's when I first seen him. We was in a unit together. I believe it was B2D, and he was just an outgoing guy.
How long were you guys cellmates right away, or was it later on?
Right away. Once I moved to that unit, like I said, it's been a lot of years.
Yeah.
So pinpoint exactly what day I met him on, I'll have to read the transcript again, but. It was around 2009.
And when you were cellmates together, was it a two-man cell or the other?
Oh no, there was there's 30 of us in there.
Okay.
So it's not really a cell; it's more of a dormitory.
Did you have your own individual private room?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Was it everybody slept in an open space together?
Yes.
Okay. And where was you each had your own assigned bed?
No, not really assigned, but we had our own bed, yes.
And where was Mr. Powell's bed in relation to yours?
I know you had a bottom bunk, but it's open to where we can walk around. So even though I didn't live next to him, doesn't mean I can't go over to him and go talk to him and sit down and have conversations and stuff like that.
So it wasn't like just because he didn't sleep right next to you, you couldn't just go and talk to him anytime you wanted to?
Yes.
Okay. And how long were you in that 30-man unit together with him?
Well, this is probably easy because I like to get in a lot of fights. I don't really stay places too long. I'd say maybe a month or two.
You get in a lot of fights, or he did?
Oh, I did.
You did, okay. And when you say after about a month or two, then were you transferred out?
Yes, to another unit. But you could still see people in passing, maybe in medical, or the jail's not that big. So I've seen Powell quite often after that, either going to court or on the way to court, or maybe on the way to just like the rec yard to go to rec. The way units are, it's like these glass like this, and if I get in a fight here, I just go to the next one, next door, so I can still talk to Powell, even though he wouldn't be in the same unit with me.
Okay. What did you think of Mr. Powell when you met him in the B2D?
He was an outgoing guy. He was about my height. And how
tall are you?
I'm 6'3".
Okay.
And I was looking for something. I was looking for someone to interpret the Bible to me.
Mm-hmm.
And ease my worries. And Mr. Powell was always doing these Bible studies and helping out inmates learn about God.
Okay.
And so that's what I was interested in. And we used to have a lot of conversations about that and about the Bible. And I had any questions, like I asked Powell. He really knew about as much as I knew, but his effort to help was good to have some fellowship.
Yeah.
And we would pray and stuff like that.
Was he a fairly religious person?
Spiritual, yes.
Okay. And that was something that you were interested in as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Did he ever talk about his criminal case?
He talked about what they said he did. Like me, in my instance, they said I burglarized the place. Even though that's not how it happened, I did burglarize the place, but the way they said it wasn't how it happened. So, like with his case, he would tell me about what they said about him, you know, but never made no admissions to me about his case, no. Just, like you have that transcript of my testimony there. Well, if I was to see that about his case, about what the cops think he did, and I have some details now because of what the cops think. And as long as I can just act like I know that he told that to me, then they would buy it. They have someone to corroborate their story. And that's what I did. I looked at his stuff, his legal documents, and that gave me an idea of what the story was about.
Okay.
And I just put my words in it.
Mr. Powell did talk about his case, but was talking mostly about what the state alleged that he did?
Yes, there you go, yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Did he ever talk about his defense theory or what he was going to put on as a defense in the case?
Not too much, because like I say, he's not a lawyer, but he just more or less was saying stuff about what they alleged he did.
Did he ever voluntarily show you any of the documents or that he might have with him?
No. Not voluntarily, no.
Okay. Did you ever, did you know that he kept legal documents with him in his, bunk area?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
And how did you know that he did?
Oh, because we don't have very much space to put our things.
Yeah.
And, you can tell what legal documents are. And you have like a little small cubbyhole. So if I was to sit on your bed, I'd just reach between my legs and I can pretty much grab whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And take it back to my bunk and look through it, be real sneaky about it. And not too sneaky, because if Mr. Powell were to go to the shower, he'd be in this, I have all access to whatever I want.
Did Mr. Powell, like you brought in today, your legal file, did he have something like that for his case?
At that time, he maybe had something like this, but it wasn't in this. It was just like some papers that I noticed him because he was looking at them himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I knew, okay. And then he must have walked off to go take a shower or watch TV, and then that's when I looked at it.
Where were the papers that he kept?
It was on top of his little cubbyhole box.
Okay. And is there a lock on the box?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Anybody could open the box?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And it was no secret he kept those papers in there?
Yes. No secret at all.
Okay. Do you know if anybody witnessed you open up the box and look at the papers?
No. That would have got me in trouble with other inmates if I would have got caught. Someone knew that was happening.
So it's pretty common that folks respect each other's privacy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And it's a big, it's not looked upon well if you are snooping through people's stuff?
Not, yes.
Okay, so you were pretty discreet about looking at his papers?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did you know when you went to go look at them what you were going to do?
Yes, I already knew what I was going to do.
Okay. Why were you going to look at his papers?
Because I needed the backstory. I needed the story, the details. Then I can work off of that. I can play off of that.
Okay.
But, I mean, I can't go talk to an investigator about a story that I don't know about.
So even though Mr. Powell had shared with you some things about his case, you also wanted to look at the papers yourself?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do you remember what papers you looked at?
No, stuff like from his lawyer. I'm not sure. I think it was I'm not really sure about his legal documents and what it was called or names, but I believe it was just an affidavit of arrest.
And do you remember what the affidavit of arrest said?
No, it was just like I said, I'm not sure if that's what I was looking at was called. And looked at some notes that I believe was something his lawyer sent him at the time. So I just pieced the things together, and then with some of the things he said, you know, just switched it around. It doesn't really take a genius to do that.
Yeah. And the notes, were they handwritten notes or typed notes?
I believe some handwritten notes.
Okay. Do you know if that was Mr. Powell's notes or somebody else's?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Did you take the documents and read them privately at some other place, or were you just sitting on Mr. Powell's bunk?
Just sitting on Mr. Powell's bunk.
Okay.
I mean, it's okay that I sit there and have stuff in my hand. It could be my own stuff that we're talking about, or like you said, Bible verses, whatnot. But yeah, I took the opportunity to do that, and not just once, but I did it like 3 times.
With Mr. Powell?
No, with Mr. Powell gone.
But with Mr. Powell's documents?
Yes, ma'am.
3 separate times?
Yes.
Okay. Did you take notes yourself or anything?
No, just in my head.
So you're just remembering things that were in the documents you read?
Yes.
Did anyone witness you do that?
No.
Okay. Anybody from the jail staff witness you?
No.
Okay. Would the jail staff, if they had witnessed you, would they have done anything?
I don't think so. Because people share each other's paperwork all the time. Like, you know, hey man, look at this. I'm not sure about how this is supposed to go, or, you know, what my lawyer's doing right.
Yeah.
Yeah, people do that a lot. So it wouldn't be unusual for them. The inmates would have had a problem, but not the officers. No, they would just assumed that it was okay.
And did you do that with any other fellow inmates?
No.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because most people take plea bargains,
mm-hmm.
and there'd be no reason for me. They're already pleading guilty. Yeah, but with Mr. Powell, he was real adamant about going to trial, which means that, to me, that the district attorney really wants his case, because now he has to go present his case in court, and he needs to win it. When there's a plea bargain, there's not, that whole thing is taken out of the picture. It's just sign guilty and go home. And pretty much 95% of people do that. But Mr. Powell did not, and that gave me an opportunity to do what I did.
Did Mr. Powell tell you that he was going to take the case to trial?
Yes, ma'am, he did.
Did he ever say that he had committed the robbery or these robberies?
No. No, ma'am, he did not.
Did he say that he was innocent of the charge?
Yes, ma'am, he did.
He did.
A lot, actually.
And so I think in your affidavit you talk about that as well, that he kind of was like an easy mark.
Yes.
Okay.
Very easy.
Yeah. How long, over the course of about how long, did you on those 3 separate occasions look through his notes? And?
I got nervous the first time I did it, so it was pretty rapid after that. Like, as soon as you leave and go do something like in the shower again or the toilet.
Yeah.
I will go back to his paperwork because I didn't know how much time I had before maybe someone saw me and just waiting an opportunity to tell. So it was pretty much within a day or so, day or two,
okay,
that I pretty much got everything I think I needed.
And then with how much longer after that did you alert the staff or?
I believe I was still in the same unit with them, so it wouldn't have been no more than maybe a week later, I think, that I wrote the request form.
Is that kind of like a kite or something?
That's what you're looking at here, yes.
Okay. So it's an inmate services request?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And in that one, you asked to speak with somebody about
yes.
a matter or something?
Yeah, that has some information about the case. I believe I gave a little teaser in there so that they kind of know what I'm talking about. And then I remember getting a visit by two people. I believe it was from the sheriff's investigation unit,
Okay. Did you know who the prosecuting, before you set the kite onward, did you know who the prosecutor was on Mr. Powell's case?
No.
Okay.
No.
What were you facing at the time that you did that?
I was facing I believe it's 5 years to 99 years.
That's such a range.
Yeah, it's just a big range. But I wasn't going to get all that, no.
Were you thinking when you did this about how long you could get?
Yes.
What were you thinking?
I was scared. I was really scared. Really been on, really messed up to be sitting there for 99 years.
Yeah.
And so, I didn't want to sit there for 99 years, and I know that they give you less time if you was to provide testimony against someone.
And how do you know that was what happened, that you could get less time?
Oh, it was implied. The prosecutor.
I'm going to ask, not on George's case, but. Before you decided to do this, or when you decided
to do that,
how'd you know that, hey, I could probably get...
Like watching TV and, you know, like Law and Order shows and stuff like that, where, you know, it's not a secret that you get favor mm-hmm. when you help out the prosecution.
Okay.
So it's just mainly stuff, watching stuff on TV and stuff like that.
And it wasn't from being in the Texas system that was... Texas was special in that regards. It was mostly just from general exposure to maybe Law and Order type of shows.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And knowing that because he was going to go to trial, the prosecutor would want to put on his best case.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you sent the kite in, and who was the first person that came to see you?
Know the guy, but I'm going through the introductions right now. I think it was someone from the sheriff's department, the investigator that all jails have. They have their own investigators, like, you know, in case I hurt somebody real bad, that's the person that's going to take the case or take the report.
So somebody internal at the jail?
I never seen the person before, because there's a sheriff's office and then there's a jail. So he could have worked for the sheriff's office, but just not the jail.
Do you remember his name?
No, ma'am.
Do you remember what he looked like?
No.
Did
it was a couple people. It wasn't just him in there. It was a lady and a guy. But I spent a lot of years, man. A lot of years. So I'm not sure.
How many visits in total did you receive from folks?
Two. I believe it was two.
Okay.
The initial one, and then someone else after that.
Okay. Did John George's attorney ever interview you or speak to you before you testified?
No.
Okay. Did you stay in George's unit after you sent the kite, or were you transferred out?
I was transferred out.
Were you transferred out because you sent the kite?
No, I was transferred out because I wanted to get transferred out.
Okay.
I know this is going to hit the fan, and George is going to find out through his attorney that there's a guy in there that's wanting to turn state's evidence on him, and it wouldn't be pretty. at all.
You wanted to get out of there because of that's.
Yes.
And I thought you'd said before you were in there for a couple of months and then you were transferred out because of fighting?
No. What I said was that that's usually, you asked me how long I was in there. And I said I usually fight a lot, so I probably was in there for a couple of months.
Okay.
Not that I was moved out because of that. I don't remember why I was moved out, but I think it was because of the kite. Okay. And now that we talk about it, I'm for sure that's what it was.
Because of the kite?
Yeah, because I put it in. And so we have a choice if we want to stay somewhere or not. If mm-hmm. I say secretly that I don't want to be here no more,
yeah,
it's really easy to move me.
Okay.
That's usually how people do that.
Okay. And so where were you transferred to? Do you remember?
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay. Was it still within the jail?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Were you having any of that contact with Mr. Powell where you'd see him in transfer or?
I think I've seen him at on the yard, the rec yard, a couple of times, and maybe in the hallway, but no conversations, no.
That was after you sent the kite?
Yes.
Did he ever try to get your attention or try to make contact with you?
No, and I was wondering about that, too. I remember that he knew that I was going to his court case, but never said anything to me, never said, why are you doing this? Nothing. Like, either he didn't care, or he, how can I hurt him? What I'm saying is a lie. I mean, he knows it.
Did he ever threaten you or send a threat through somebody else?
No.
Okay. So a couple times you see him in passing in the yard or whatnot, but he's not trying to reach out to you or intimidate or influence you?
No.
Okay. So the first visit that you get is somebody from either the jail or the sheriff's office?
Yes.
Okay. And there were some people with him as well?
Yeah. I think it was a two-person team. I thought it was husband and wife, but I could have been mistaken.
Okay. And then, do you remember what happened during that first meeting with them?
No, they just went over the things that I knew and asked me some questions and took some notes. And then...
What did you tell them?
I told them the lie. I told them that I got this information. Me and Mr. Powell talked intensively about his case, and he told me that he did these things, and that these people won't realize what he did, and they won't. They're thinking one thing when it's actually another. That kind of stuff. Just the basic of the case. My version of it.
Essentially, similar to what you testified to.
Yes.
Okay. And do you think that they believed you during that first meeting?
I think they wanted to believe me. I think having someone here with the details I had, they know why. I'm assuming that they know why people do this. Mm-hmm. But I think they wanted to believe me. Mm-hmm. If they did or didn't, I don't think they cared.
Was your attorney present for that meeting?
No, ma'am.
And why not?
I didn't want him there. He wasn't there. It wasn't something that I knew was happening.
But if you were thinking, I want to get something out of this, right, some benefit, did you think about incorporating your attorney to help you in that regard?
I kind of thought that would happen anyway, which it did. Just once they, I'm assuming I wasn't there, but I wanted to make myself sound a little believable and a little credible. I'm just saying, hey, well, give me something and I'll give you this information. Mm-hmm. Now I want to give the information forthright without having to ask them for anything, and then they might make the wheels start turning, which they did. Once they told the DA, the DA contacted my lawyer, and then that's how it happened.
So that first meeting, you didn't ask for consideration or benefit?
No.
Okay. And you specifically didn't because you thought, well, I'll be more credible if I'm just sort of like, hey, I've got some information.
Yes.
I'm doing this kind of out of the goodness of my heart.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the ruse.
Okay. And then you had a second meeting. Do you remember who that second visit was with?
No, ma'am, I do not. I don't remember.
And was that the same type of meeting, or was it a different type of meeting?
I'm not sure. I just remember the first one because I was excited that I get to say this, get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And but the second one, I don't remember who that was. But I just remember having some meetings with the district attorney shortly before the trial. I want to say the same day, that morning.
Before you testified.
Yes. That one, I could know that I had that meeting with him, and I want to say my lawyer was there.
Was your lawyer there for the second visit?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Do you know why they came back that second time to visit? Did they have questions at that point, or were they?
It could have been the DA that had this. Could have been. No, I don't remember the second visit.
Yeah.
I just remember the first one.
Was it different people that came on the second visit?
I'm not sure.
Okay. And then Mr. Powell's attorneys never reached out to you or asked you questions or talked to you?
No.
And then was it the next time you talked about this case was before you testified the day of?
No, my lawyer. I believe my lawyer paid me a visit. I couldn't tell you how long it was or before, but it was shortly about a month before. I was a little confused back then because I was going to the mental health hospital.
Okay.
And so I was away for a while getting help and treatment. And it's when I got back and all this trial stuff happened.
Okay.
But
You were sent to, I think in the transcript you talk about being sent to a facility. Did they put you on some medication there?
Mm-hmm.
And then you came back. Were you feeling better when you came back from them?
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
Okay. And it was when you came back from that hospital that your lawyer paid you a visit?
Yes.
Okay. And who was your lawyer? Do you remember
him? I don't remember that guy. I wish I had him this time.
It was a man?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
Okay. He was representing you on this case that you were looking at 5 to 99 years?
Yes.
Okay. And that visit with the attorney, was it like we are, where we're in a contact room, or was it over the phone that you had a visit with him?
It was over the phone. It was a video conference. Like it's a video screen, and your lawyer's in a room like this, and he's talking to you, but you're not together, no.
Okay. And what do you remember about the visit with your lawyer?
Well, he told me that I should expect to be hearing from the DA, and he thinks that the George Powell's trial is going to be coming up here shortly, and that's kind of what I remember. I'm sorry I don't remember so much more.
That's okay. Was that the first time that you and your attorney had ever talked about Mr. Powell?
No, I believe I brought it up to his attention once, that to look into it, and I believe he said he heard about it already with this investigators and stuff, but he don't know what's going to happen out of it, if they're going to actually use me or need me at the moment.
Yeah.
And then the next time is when he told me that, yeah, the DA came to him and spoke.
Okay.
And said that they're going to be for sure going to trial, and that he wanted to, I'm having to go over some more things and be prepared, or just be prepared.
Okay. And did your did you ever talk to your attorney about the fact that that this wasn't true, that Mr. Powell had not confessed? Or
no, I never told my attorney that.
Okay. Was he always under the impression that, at least from you, that what you were going to be testifying about was the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And he understood the truth that Mr. Powell had confessed?
Yes.
Okay. And you had said in your affidavit there was a meeting with the prosecutor where the prosecutor, and I use the word prosecutor, that's like a Washington State thing, but do you refer to them as the DA? Okay. So you have in your affidavit, you wrote about the DA maybe having some notes or something written down?
Yeah, I believe it was my statement, the one I gave to the investigators earlier.
Okay.
My words.
Okay.
And that's what he was showing me was my own words.
Was this in a meeting? This is in like one of the first two meetings?
No, this is in the holding tank before trial.
So you're about ready to testify?
Yes.
Okay. And who was present when the DA and you had this meeting?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure who, if anybody else was there or if I was just handed that to him. I know that someone else was there. Someone had to be there. Someone else had to be there. I just couldn't tell you who it was. I think it was my lawyer. I think it was my lawyer because I never seen the guy by myself. The DA, I never seen him by myself. It was somebody else there. I was in the holding tank, so it wasn't like I was people sitting next to me. I believe they walked up and asked me to look through this again.
Hold on a second.
I'm sorry. No. Yes, I came to a room. It was a room. It wasn't the day of trial. It was maybe a week before that. I was in the visitation room. It was CV4. And CV4 is the visitation room where investigators and stuff will come talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I had to visit the one I tell you about the investigators,
yeah.
That happened up in booking, at a little room in booking. Where people come into the jail and get released from the jail. That was a little small conference room. And my next visit was in CV4, which is a different part of the jail. And that's a more secure visit. That's where they have cameras and things like that hanging up, and you have a table and they can put the laptops in there and stuff like that. That's the visit I remember having when I read my statement over again.
And was there another visit?
Yes, and then there was another visit.
After that CV4 visit.
Yes, that was the one where I had to read the statement again, right before trial.
Okay. So, is it fair to say there was at least three occasions where the prosecutor or the sheriff's office came to meet with you about this case?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The first one was in booking.
That was people that was from the outside, cops. And, I think the second one were, I don't know for sure who that was.
That was at CV4.
CV4.
Okay. Do you remember if the prosecutor was at the CV4?
I'm thinking so, but the more I talk about it, the more I start to remember.
Yeah.
And, but for the record, I don't know for sure.
Where was the visit on the day of your testimony, that same day?
I was in the holding cell. And that's why I remember someone coming to me and asked me to look over this
mm-hmm.
Paper just to have an idea on what I said so I could get back on stand and say it with accuracy.
Okay.
Could have been the district attorney's assistant that came to me.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I do remember seeing the district attorney. That could have been the second visit I had in CV4.
Okay. The prosecutor who asked you questions on the witness stand, mm-hmm. was that person ever included in any of these prior visits?
Yes.
Okay. Either the CV4
or the one right before the
when you were in the holding cell?
Yes.
Okay. You just don't remember where you met with him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I have met with him, yes.
And that was a man?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember his name?
No.
And you said there was a husband and wife. Is that the husband from the husband and wife?
No.
Okay.
That husband and wife team I thought was the investigators at the beginning.
Okay.
The initial visit I had.
Okay.
To find out what this inmate request form is all about.
Was the husband and wife from law enforcement or from the prosecuting attorney's office?
I think they announced themselves as being investigators.
Okay.
For the sheriff's department.
Okay.
But like I said, I don't know if there was husband and wife. Just there was a man and a female.
Okay. And I think you'd use the word husband and wife. Do you know if they were married?
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Okay. When you're in the holding cell, is that the first time that there's ever a communication from you to anyone or to anyone to you about some sort of benefit that you're going to get?
No, I got that in the second visit, and CV4 visit. I remember, well, I can remember of it, I don't know who was speaking to it, and I want to say it's the prosecutor, because...
Tell me about that.
It was, you know, he's saying that I can't promise you anything when it comes to your time, but he put that little extra in there, like with his facial expressions and with a grin and like a smirk he gave me.
Okay.
When he said that, to he was implying, I would say on the record that he was implying that I would get favor. Because I also mentioned that I was really scared of my time that I'm about to get.
Yeah.
He said, well, I can't promise you anything, but, you know, in a way, like, yes. That's how I took it.
You took it to mean that if you testified that they were going to do something for you.
Yes. And he did. I mean, I got.
But he was careful not to say that.
Yes. But I was looking at a lot more time than just the 5 years. I had done this crime before. I had a lot of crimes before that. And I got the 2 years. I got less than the minimum. Minimum is 5 to 99. I got two.
You got two. Less than the five.
Yes.
Yeah.
Less than the five. And I was able to go home for a little while.
Do you think that you got the two because of your role in Mr. Powell's case?
Yes. And I believe it was mentioned that I was helping out the police. That was the excuse that he gave to the judge in order for me to get this time, because he wasn't supposed to go under the minimum. I remember the judge calling him to the bench, and that's what he was saying, that Mr. Smith has been cooperating with law enforcement, and that I do remember.
So we'll get to that in just a second. Mm-hmm. So, when you're in CV4, is your attorney with you for that visit?
Yes, he was.
He was there. Okay. So your attorney, do you think your attorney was paying attention to this smirk or to this, what this person was conveying to you in terms of, I can't promise you anything, but...
No, I'm not sure. Like I said, I don't remember the whole visit, but I remember my lawyer, because I remember my lawyer talking to me. They don't talk to you very much, these lawyers do. They don't talk to you very much. And I remember seeing him twice before this happened, so I'm just saying
that. You remember seeing your lawyer twice?
Yes. And that's because he don't come see you that often.
Okay.
So he was in there for the visit in CB4, and he was there for right before I went to court.
Do you know if your lawyer was communicating with that prosecutor about what benefit you might receive?
Mm-hmm. Because my lawyer also mentioned it to me that if my testimony is good and the conviction is made, then I should be able to go home soon.
Okay. The prosecutor who said I can't promise you anything, but you know, and was sort of smirking at you.
Yes.
Who was that person?
That'd have been the prosecutor.
Was he the prosecutor on your case?
No.
Okay.
He's the prosecutor for Mr. Powell's case.
Okay.
I never seen I don't think I've ever seen a prosecutor for my case at all until my case went to court.
Okay. And the prosecutor in CV4 who made that promise to you, or at least the unspoken promise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see him in court?
Yes, he was the same guy that was asking me questions.
Okay. Do you remember what he looked like?
No.
Okay. So when you were in the holding cell, you're getting ready to testify, and they were showing you some papers, like a prior statement that you had made to during one of the first meetings with them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like kind of what you just showed me there.
What did I show you?
The transcript.
The transcript.
Yeah, it was like a transcript of my statement.
Okay.
Read over this and refresh it in your head.
And was there something written on it?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just my words.
Okay.
Typed.
So I want to go to your affidavit.
Okay.
You said, I'm going to read from it. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says, the ADA had some notes in his hand that I was able to see. It said, if you can get your story straight in front of the jury at Mr. Powell jury trial, I will see to it that you get the minimum for your case.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
That's what I meant by it. Okay. That's about the notes, yeah.
Yeah, the notes was basically what he had him typed. It wasn't notes, like his handwriting.
Okay.
It was typed. It's what my statements were. You know, like what I said,
uh-huh.
And it was typed in, and I just kept reading, and then that's what it said at the bottom of it.
And was it in a handwritten?
No, it wasn't handwritten.
It was typed as well?
Yes, it was typed as well. Everything was typed.
And why wouldn't the defense have seen that document?
I'm not sure. I gave it back to the person that came and gave it to me in the first place.
Okay.
So I thought it was just for me.
And was that in the holding cell that you first saw that?
Yes, that's when he gave me that paper. Someone gave me that paper to read, yes.
Okay. So just...
It wasn't handwritten, no.
Okay. So just to be clear, you are getting ready to testify. Somebody, maybe a paralegal from the prosecutor's office, comes in and hands you like some type of a statement.
Yeah, something like that. Like, what you holding in your hand there?
And I'm holding a transcript from your testimony.
Yes, you are.
So it was a typed statement that somebody else had prepared, and you were looking at it, I guess, to refresh your memory so
yes.
that you're preparing to testify.
Yes.
And that at the bottom of it is included in this typed copy is typed out the...
What I said there.
What you said in your affidavit.
Yes.
Okay. And then that copy, you were able to read it, and then the paralegal took it back.
Yes, someone took it back. I gave it to someone, yes.
Do you remember the person that gave it to you and turned it and you gave it back to?
No. I mean, it could have been the DA, because I'm in a holding tank. I'm not really, there's nothing in there. No desk, nothing like that, no camera.
Okay.
So the cell door opened up, and I remember getting that to read over.
Okay.
And saying that, be patient. We be calling you here shortly.
Okay.
I remember that much.
Okay. Okay.
And I remember giving the paper back to the officer saying I was done.
Okay.
Or someone, yeah.
So then you testified, and then you said, tell me about, was there any other conversations with the prosecutor before you went to your sentencing on your case?
No, I've never seen that prosecutor again after that.
The one that was asking you questions and the one that smirked at you?
No, I never seen him after that, after the trial, no.
Okay.
But my prosecutor was a little nicer to me now.
Do you remember his name?
Took my tongue. He was a bad guy.
You remember what he looked like?
Yeah, he was a short guy. Maybe about your height. A little older, maybe 40s. I mean, you're in your 20s, so, but he's like 40s or something. God, his name is. I just saw him a couple months ago too, and I just forgot his name. Sorry, man.
So he was the he was prosecuting you on your case.
On my case, yes.
Okay, and did he come to meet you prior to sentencing? About talking about the benefit that you'd get from Mr. Powell's case?
No. My lawyer did that. He told me that I'm going to get the 2 years.
Oh, okay.
And so...
Before sentencing, you found out you're going to get two?
Yes.
Okay.
And so he wanted me to sign the plea bargain for 2 years.
Your attorney advised you to sign the plea bargain?
Yes.
Okay. And you did do that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then did you go to your sentencing?
I went home first.
You were released?
I was released.
Okay.
I was released for about a month and a half.
Okay.
So Powell's case was in, I think, December or somewhere around there. And then January, I remember when I came back, but I remember January of the next year, which was 2010, The judge released me for a month and a half until my sentencing arrived in February. I came back and got sentenced.
So I know, and I don't know Mr. Powell's case, and I don't know what happened, but in the transcript that I showed you before of your testimony, the defense attorney, Mr. Powell's attorney, asked you about your bond and on your case, and that it was set at $75,000?
Yes.
Was it lowered or removed, or what was
it? It was lowered down to $35.
$35?
Mm-hmm.
And that was done by the judge in your case?
I guess, yeah, the prosecutor. I mean, the judge does what the prosecutor recommends. He recommended that I get what they call a PR bond.
The prosecutor recommended that?
Yes.
Okay. The short guy?
Yeah,
that's
the short guy.
That guy we're talking
yeah.
about, okay. So he recommended to the judge a PR bond,
mm-hmm.
and that was going to release you at, you just have to pay $35?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been there already for almost 2 years, and then after the George Powell trial, I get a $35 bond.
And so you got to go out for a month and a half, you said? And then you came back for your sentencing?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then at your sentencing, you said the prosecutor went up and spoke to the judge privately, or was there something like that?
Yes, because she wasn't aware of why it was so low.
Why
my time was so low. He had to give a reason to her in order for her to be on board.
Yeah.
Like, he said, yeah, it's been changed from 5 to 99 to 2 years. And that's when she got kind of confused. And
it walked there. Female judge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it walked up there for maybe, I don't know, 2-3 seconds and came back and she approved it.
Did you hear their conversation?
I heard a little bit of it because he was talking about it before he walked up there.
The prosecutor?
Yes. That it was for my cooperation with law enforcement. Not just there, but also outside too.
Okay. And outside being like you'd done some help with the other matters?
Yes, other matters.
Okay. Was your attorney there when the prosecutor went and spoke with the judge?
Yes, all of us is there.
Okay. So your attorney heard that as well?
Yes.
Okay. And then the judge gave you your 2 years, and you'd already done the time, so you were released?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did you ever have any contact with George again, Mr. Powell?
No.
Okay. So I'm not familiar with this police department, but are you aware of a police department called Killeen Police Department?
Killeen.
That's cute. So Killeen Police Department, have you had any dealings with them, or what's been your relationship with them?
They're police officers, I guess. I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I mean, maybe just back up. Is when you say you've done other things outside of Mr. Powell's case.
Well, yeah, it was like like make control buys.
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
I did something like that for them.
Was that before or after Mr. Powell?
That was after Mr. Powell.
After. Mm-hmm. Was that something that you wanted to do, or was that something that they asked you to do?
No, I wanted to do that.
Okay.
I want to make sure that I wasn't sure if Mr. Powell's case was enough. So I wanted to show more cooperation. But it was already set. The 2 years was already set. I already got that. I didn't have to do anything with the cops to get that 2 years.
Did you do the control buys on that month and a half when you were out of custody?
Yes.
Okay. So you're still like waiting on that. You thought you were going to get the 2 years. But
I knew I was going to get the 2 years.
Yeah.
I had already signed for it.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to wait for my sentencing. That's why I went home. But I figured I'd do some other stuff just to make sure that they don't change their mind.
Yeah. Just to keep in good favor with
them.
Ma'am. Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. And do you know, were they able to get prosecutions or convictions based on?
No, I think just arrest.
Okay.
And I didn't hear anything about that after that.
And that's where you went out and just bought some drugs when the police were?
It wasn't drugs. It was like selling laptops and things like that.
Like stolen goods or something?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And did you ever have to testify or get involved in those other legal matters?
No, no.
Okay. Have you ever worked with law enforcement in any other way other than what we've talked about today?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And you haven't exchanged information for a benefit in any other case other than George Powell's case?
Yes.
Okay. And meaning what you did with Mr. Powell, you haven't done that with any other person?
No.
Okay. I'm just kind of going over a few other questions that I think
take it down.
Mr. Ware had wanted me to ask you. Do you know the law enforcement agency that was involved in this case that you had dealings with? Was that the Killeen?
Yes, ma'am.
Killeen Police Department, or was that another agency?
No, it was the Killeen Police Department.
Killeen. Okay.
I want to say that.
But that was just it.
The reason why he's in jail is because that county got him, so it had to be the Killeen Police Department.
And you think it was folks from the Killeen Police Department that were at that first meeting?
No. I think it was people from the, I tried to do it again for someone else once. It didn't go very far, but I remember it was the investigators. It's their job to take my statement and pass it on to the right people.
From the jail?
Yes.
That may be associated with the sheriff's department?
Yes.
Okay. So the Bell County Sheriff?
Yes, ma'am.
So what was the other one that you tried? And
it was around the same time. It was some military guy, some murder that happened near the base, but it didn't go nowhere. Like, he signed a plea bargain.
Oh, okay.
So it was no trial.
Did you meet with the investigators about that case?
No, I had told my statement.
Like you did with George?
Yes.
Okay. And then they probably weren't interested?
Yes.
Because the guy pled guilty?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And that's when you say it didn't go anywhere?
Yes.
Do you remember that defendant's name?
No.
Okay. Was he also in the same 30 unit in the jail?
No, I was later on, before the George Powell thing, I was housed in a separation cell. Separation cell by myself. Not for protection from George Powell, no. Because of my mental health issues and my behavioral problems.
Okay.
That they locked me away.
You were in isolation?
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
Isolation.
And it was then that you contacted authorities about this other individual?
Yes.
Okay.
Another guy that was in the isolation area with me, just another cell. It's kind of hard for me to talk to a woman about this stuff.
Because
I was a really messed up guy doing that. It's not honorable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think the fact that you're coming forward now is very admirable.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Have you told anyone about this over the years, in terms of that you had, provided false testimony at George's trial?
My mother.
You did?
Yes.
When did you tell your mom?
God, I talked to her all the time. Shortly after that, shortly before the trial, I told her that.
Before you testified in George's case?
Yes.
Okay.
If I remember right. And then, after that, a couple of times, just talking.
What did she think?
Well, family, she worried about me.
Yeah.
She worried about me in ways that she didn't just know, last too long in prison, and she afraid that this would have got out, it could hurt me.
Yeah.
But since she knew I was coming, she didn't worry too much after that. But mom was hearing any story that you got for him. She just talked me through it.
What's your mom's name?
Smith.
And is she out here?
Or? Oh, no, she's somewhere.
Oh, she's in?
Yeah, my sister's military, so they move around a lot.
Oh, okay. Your mom moves around with?
Yeah.
With you.
She's like the nanny for my nieces.
For your sister's kids?
Yes.
Yeah. Would you be comfortable if we tried to reach out to your mom and ask her about your conversations with her about Mr. Powell?
I'm not sure what she offered other than what I just said. I mean, if it helps them, then I'll do anything. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Do you have her phone number? Or do you know how we can reach her?
Yes, I have a phone number.
Could you give it to me?
Yes.
Is she your biological mother?
Yes.
Okay. Are you still in talking
oh, yeah.
with her all the time?
Well, I just talked to her this morning.
Great. Okay. Anyone else other than your mom that you...
No.
Okay. Are you at risk having your affidavit? You said that you have it on this... On your...
It's coming home. Down now. I'll kick it down now.
Because it's off your to-do list?
Yes.
Okay. In terms of other inmates who might know your history, though, is that a concern for your safety, or is that a... Do you have any concerns there?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm a pretty big guy. It was just on my walls. Don't worry, I'm scared. I should have said this. I live in a cell by myself.
Okay.
So there's no one else looking at my
stuff. Nobody can access and
no.
look through your stuff.
No.
Okay.
I'm in a cell.
Okay.
And prison is a lot different than jail.
Yeah.
When it comes to anybody near, you know, people's safety, stabbings and things, so. Anybody that's just by your cell that doesn't belong there, mm-hmm. they call it out of bounds and get in trouble for that.
Okay.
Officers are in trouble big time.
Okay. What haven't we talked about that you think I should know or that Mr. Ware, George's attorney, should know?
I just want to say, since we're on the record here, that I'm sorry to Powell. And I'm sorry that my memory's a little vague on some of these points that you want me to address. But I do know this much, is that I lied on the stand. Mr. Powell never told me anything about what he did or any admissions or confessions. It was just me picking apart the story that I got from the paperwork and committed perjury and lied on the stand and got this man convicted for something that I'm not sure because I wasn't there. But I know it was my testimony that made it happen. And I wish I could take it back. If he's hearing this, I'm sorry. Sorry, Mr. Powell.
That interview says it all. George Powell never confessed to anyone, much less Mr. Smith. And thankfully, Mr. Smith did the right thing on his own and came forward to set the record straight. And now moving forward, the state's case against George Powell has just lost one of its four legs. But Mr. Smith recanting isn't even the half of it. In order for Melissa Keene's identification of George Powell in the photo lineup to hold up as the case moves forward, Michael Knox's testimony that through photogrammetry he can prove that the robber was a minimum of 6'1" also has to hold up. Was Michael Knox's testimony and analysis accurate? The Forensic Science Commission of Texas doesn't think so. Next week on Truth and Justice. Truth and Justice is a production of NBI Studios. Michael Bussing is our executive producer, and Shane Yoder is our sound engineer. All music of the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com. I want to thank Tate Krupa for designing and creating our logo, and thank you to Chris Brinkley of SylviaConsultants.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website. Thank you to our transcription team, Britta Bliss, Stephanie McConnell, Sarah Mueller, and Anna Dindor. And thank you to Desiree Dunn for printing off the transcripts and mailing them for us. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. Keep sending in your thoughts, theories, and ideas to theories@truthandjusticepod.com. And like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.